You got your Bibles tonight. Let's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Recently, Pastor preached through 1 Corinthians. What an interesting church it is. Every once in a while, I see a sign on a church that says, New Testament Baptist Church, and I always will wonder which one this is. Is it Laodicea or is it Corinth? Corinth had a lot of problems. And one of the problems they had was a division over the various preachers. So let's open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 21, 2, and 3. Three short verses. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. You ought to have that marked in your mind, if not in your Bible. All things are yours. I'm talking tonight about some wealthy Christians. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, belong to him, and Christ is God. Think about what he's just told us there. He has said to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are wealthy people. Maybe not in dollars, bank accounts, stocks, bonds, all that, but you are a wealthy person as described here in things that belong to the believer. All who are believers have an inheritance that's outlined for us here in the Word of God. A spiritual mountain peak. In these verses. So I want you to look, first of all, at six possessions that he says belong to us in this passage. First one he says is, the preacher belongs to the believers. When you get in that first Corinthians chapter 1, you'll find the church was very divided over preachers. Some said, we are of Paul. Some we are of Apollos, we're of this one and that one. They had a preference in the preachers. But it's not the preacher that is the church. Our church is really blessed to have a Bible preaching pastor who preaches the Word of God and who also is a faithful pastor. We are very blessed there indeed. Someone once said, most people have two kinds of pastors. They have the one they used to have and the one they're going to have next, but not the one we got now. Well, that's not our case here at Hillcrest Baptist Church. But he says there in that very passage of scripture, the preacher, the pastor, belongs to the church. The church at Corinth was divided over the various preachers that were among them. And each one had something different to offer, and they were choosing up sides. Church, you know, the church really doesn't, I hope you don't think they do, the church doesn't hire a preacher. A church calls a pastor so that he can devote full time to the ministry of the work of the Lord. So this church has a good heritage in that they have blessed them, God has blessed them with a pastor, preacher. Preacher belongs to the believer, which means a pastor is a part of the church and its overseer and guidance and teacher of the Word of God, this ministry that's serving there for the glory of the Lord. Next thing he says, that is our possession, is that as believers, the world belongs to the believer. You know, God has made a great world for us to live in. In 2 Corinthians 5, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15, it tells us we're not to love the world, neither things that are in the world. However, that's talking about a system of the world. It's not talking about the beauty of the country and to the world in which God has placed us. And creation is great. To go somewhere and see some of the mountain peaks of our nation, or to go to a place like Grand Canyon, I remember many years ago when our oldest son was just a toddler, and we stopped at the Grand Canyon, and we're standing there looking at that beautiful place God has created. And in a little bit, our little son looked up at me and he said, "That's a deep hole." Well, that was his impression with the Grand Canyon, and it is a deep hole. But when we look around at God's creation, it is fabulous, marvelous, what God has made here on earth. I often think about the fact that creation took place in a very short time, apparently, according to Genesis. But Jesus has been preparing a place for us for almost 2,000 years. What is heaven going to be like? But remember this, the world belongs to the believer. We have that song, "This is my Father's world." And since it belongs to Him, it wouldn't hurt if we didn't take better care of it. What do you think about that? I drive along the highway and I see papers and every kind of imaginable thing, bottles been cast out of automobiles. It doesn't hurt to carry a little bag in your car and put those in. It'd help a whole lot to keep God's world looking a whole lot better. But the world, this world in which we live, belongs to the believer. And we need to honor it, and we need to protect it, and we need to remember one day it's going to pass away. The Lord's going to give us a brand new world. The earth that thou is will be gone, and there's a new heaven and a new earth that is coming also. Remember, there are six possessions of the believer here. And the third one is that life. Life belongs to the believer. My life, your life, is a gift from God. How long does it last? I have no idea how long it lasts. I said to some young people not too long back, "I know something you don't know." They said, "What is that?" I said, "I know I'm not going to die young." Too late for that. Now, I haven't always known that, because in spite of what I look like, I was once young. But I got over that. But our life belongs to God. Our life belongs to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important what we do with it. How many times have I heard someone who said they were a Christian justifying something they were doing that wasn't right by saying, "It's my life, I can do what I want to with it." If you're saved, it is your life, but it also belongs to the Lord. And we need to understand that our life belongs to Him, and it also belongs to us. There's a passage in the Old Testament in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's the closing of chapter 11 and the opening of chapter 12 that says three things that I think are important about life. In chapter 9 of verse 11, it talks about youth, and it says the youth are to rejoice in their youth. Rejoice. Remember that R, three R's? Rejoice in your youth. Then chapter 12 opens by saying, remember. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And then you move a little farther down in chapter 12, and he says, he's another R, return. Return to the dust from which you came. So we have an opportunity in life. As youth, we need to get the best out of it for the glory of God and have a satisfactory life. We need to remember that God is a creator and we're responsible to Him. And one day we're going to return to have a meeting with the Lord. Judgment Day is coming for all of us one day. And our life, it's a gift. It's a gift from God. And while physical life is wonderful, there is a spiritual life that lives forever. One day, this life we have now, this physical body we live in, one day it's going to breathe its last breath of air, and we're going to be out into eternity. This life will be over. But as believers, we have a life that lasts forever. It has no ending. It is eternal. In fact, the Bible uses the word eternal and everlasting. Both of them come from the same Greek word. It's misleading there. There's no end to it. It goes on and on and on. I don't know all that's on the other side, but I know one thing. Life with Jesus lasts forever. Eternal life. For example, John 3:15, whosoever believeth on Him should never perish, but have eternal life. And of course, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, hear ye that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Gift, life is a gift from God that he has given to us, and this everlasting life. One thing it gives us is peace. It's a wonderful thing to go to bed at night and to know, now, Lord, if this is the last night on earth, I'll see you in the morning, getting up morning to meet the Lord. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. This everlasting life brings peace to our troubled hearts. It also brings joy. It's the book of Philippians that talks much about the joy of the Lord. In verse 4 of Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Or in Philippians 3 and verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same unto you indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Rejoice in the Lord. And then 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, he says about Jesus, whom having not seen, I've never seen him with physical eyes, whom having not seen, you love with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Never seen him face to face. My eyes of faith, yes, I see my Lord. But one day I'm going to see him face to face. Remember what Jesus told that thief that hung by his side on the cross when he prayed, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Joy and a wonderful gift from the Lord. And then a fourth item that believers have is death. We don't usually think of death as a blessing, but there's a very real sense in which it is. I know on more than one occasion, I have sat with people in death, in great agony, when it was a blessing, when they breathed their last breath. Some of us have realized that when we've sat by a parent and saw the agony that was there and were pleased to go be with the Lord, pleased to go be with the Lord. I remember when my mother was so ill, she almost 90, like a little bit by 96 when she passed. And sometime before that, she said to me, Billy, I want to go home. Well, Mother, you have sold your house. And she said, that's not what I mean. And she lifted a finger and pointed up. And she said, I want to go home. One day the believer wants to go home. Wonderful time when that time. Remember when Adam and Eve, I know most of us weren't there then. We may look like it, but we weren't. But when Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they had sinned and lost their standing before God, in that garden was a tree called the Tree of Life. And after they had sinned, God said, we're going to take that tree of life away. Least man should eat thereof and what? Live forever. It would not be good to live forever in this body in which I now reside. 2 Corinthians 5 says, if this earthly house be dissolved, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. There'll be a time when we probably ourselves, if we're conscious, will be glad to meet death. Meet death. Another thing he says, number 5, he said things present belong to the believer. Things present. What are these things present? Well, my lands. One of the things present are the joys of life. Thank the Lord for those. For the friendships of life. Thank the Lord for those. It was a number of years ago. In fact, it was in the fall of 1954 that as an 18-year-old, been a Christian for 1 year, I had enrolled in Decatur Baptist College as a ministerial student and became acquainted with several other young men. And we became prayer warriors, and we made commitments to each other. There were four, maybe five, I'm not sure now about the number. But we made commitment to each other that we would be faithful to the Lord and that we would stay in contact with one another and be sure everyone stayed on the firing line for the Lord. Years have passed now, 70 years have passed, and there are only two of us that are still left. I'm the young one, by the way, of those that are left. My friend in Oklahoma, he's 92 years of age and in frail health. But it's been good to stay in touch. You see, it's been a gift, a blessing from the Lord that God has given to us. And life friends are important, gift from God. And even the trials that come to us, they're important because they teach us lessons. When you go through the trials of life, remember, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Trials are important in our life. They strengthen us and make us stronger believers. And perplexities, a lot of things we don't understand. In my life and in your life, things have happened that you have had to say, Lord, why did that happen? I don't understand, but I will understand it better by and by. And the difficulties and all of these happy experiences of life, they're all a gift that God has given to. These all things are yours. And remember, whatever's happening, whatever's going on, find somewhere in there God has something to say and God is doing something in my life and for me, and I want to be faithful and serve Him. Now notice another thing he says. I said six things. Here's number six. Things to come belong to God. And they belong to us also. There's no way to list our wealth of things to come. What is there beyond this life? Well, we know that heaven is beyond. In John 14, Jesus talking to troubled disciples, and he said to them, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. And then he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Some translations put dwelling places there. I've always liked mansions better. I've had a few dwelling places. It weren't so hot. many mansions. There's room for everyone. Room. In Revelation 21 and 22, it describes that heavenly city. And my lands, when it gets through describing it, it's just like human language collapsed under the load of trying to describe what this city of God is really like. It's a marvelous, magnificent place. And things that are still future belong to the believer. Things that are to come belong to the believer. That's heaven, and that's all the joys that come in our life. That's from beginning to end. You know, life is a good trip. It's a wonderful family. Have a family. Have a Christian wife and a long marriage together. All of this is important down here, but there's still even more to come. Sometimes I ask Lily, do you think that we'll be neighbors in heaven? I may need some advice from her on that, but we've had a long time here, but it's not over yet. But all these six things he's saying to us that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're wealthy people. These all belong to you. Rejoice in what God has for you and use it for his glory and for his honor. Now I want you to notice another thing he says here though, and it's in verse 23. All of these things that belong to the believer, he said there's one item that does not belong to us. But it belongs to the Lord. So what he says? Verse 23. Ye are Christ. You belong to Him. You are Christ, and Christ is God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20 says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I belong to the Lord. And I'm a steward. We're stewards of what God has given us. When we use the word steward, we often just think of tithes and offerings, but it's far more than that. We have a life that's a stewardship. It needs to be used for the glory of the Lord. When we are young, we can do things we can't do when we get old. I was thinking this morning about an experience that now things change a lot when you get old. I was a young pastor. We lived in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I'd preach on Sunday morning and sometimes teach a Sunday school class, and Sunday afternoon go do a jail service, and after the jail service go do a nursing home service, and then come back and preach on Sunday night, sometimes lead a training group. And I look back on that and I think, wow, couldn't do that now. Now I preach on Sunday morning, go eat, and then take a nap. And I've been able to wake up in time to come to church on Sunday night. But life changes, opportunities change. But all the way through, from the youngest time when we become a believer, all the way through, our life belongs to the Lord, and we're stewards of it, and we need to use it for His honor and for His glory, to be faithful to Him all the days of our life. The passage says that since we belong to Him, one thing you can be sure of, we're not ever going to be lost. He holds us in His hand. I love that passage in John 10, 27 to 30 that says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are safe and secure in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're His. His. Don't belong to the devil. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Also, since we belong to the Lord, we ought to live like He would want us to live. Remember that song, let others see Jesus in you? Paul, passing through this world of care, and others your life shall view. Be clean and pure without within, let others see Jesus in you. What do they see in our life? I grew up in a home, my mother was a Christian. My dad was not saved till after I was. But in my growing up, I remember over and over my dad would come home and say to my mother, he had called some Baptist. My mom was a Baptist, so he looked for the Baptist. Turned over rocks looking for hypocrites. And he would tell her what some Baptist man that he had seen that day had said that was off color, wrong, bad. And I grew up listening to that until I was saved myself. And, of course, he was right. My mother used to say to him, Bill Dudley, if a hypocrite can stand between you and the Lord, bigger than you are. There's plenty of hypocrites around, but keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll never disappoint you. In my journey of Christian life, I've been disappointed in a lot of people that I trusted and had faith in. But I've never been disappointed by Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Love Him, obey Him, and serve Him faithfully. And since we belong to the Lord, we ought to stay busy for Him. Using what abilities He's given us, there's a lot of things some of us can't do. Singing, man, I love to hear these guys and gals up here sing and cut. But my ability to sing is not good. In fact, it's terrible. I was in the second grade, and they had a little, what they called a little band. And my older sisters had had a tambourine, and that was my inheritance for a music instrument. And so in the second grade, with my tambourine, I joined the band. But Miss Finley kicked me out of the band. She said, "Billy, you're hitting it at the wrong times." And I'm just 6 years old. And I cried. And bless her heart, she had a tender heart. She said, "I tell you what, I'm going to let you play the rhythm sticks." I didn't know that's kind of the bottom of the barrel. But she gave me rhythm sticks and took my tambourine away. But there was a problem. I hit the sticks at the wrong time. And Miss Finley said, "Billy, you can't be in the band. You're tone deaf." I didn't know what that was. I could hear. And I cried. "Okay," she said, "here's what I'm going to let you do. You can have the rhythm sticks in the band, but don't hit them together. Just act like you are." Yeah. Whatever music talent you have, use it. Some don't have it. Use it to the glory of God. I often tell Linda I taught her all she knows about music. Yeah, we need to use our abilities. I like the passage in 1 Corinthians, or 1 Thessalonians, the very last two verses of that chapter that talked about how these Thessalonians, it says they turned to God from idols. That means they what? Got saved. They turned to God from idols. And then it says, to serve the true and the living God. And then it says, to wait for his son from heaven. And that's the progress. We get saved and we go to work. And while we work, we just kind of keep one eye on the sky. You don't ever know when the Lord's going to come back. But you don't sit on the hill somewhere and wait for him to come back. You roll up your sleeves and go to work and do what he wants you to do. That's the will of God for our life. And since we are his, we belong to him, one day we will see him face to face. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "Beloved, now, not after a while, but now we are the sons or children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Job, who went through such trials and tribulations, said in verse 26, "Though after my skin worms destroy this flesh, yet with these eyes I shall see God." And 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12 says, "Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." Let me ask you this. Do you belong to the Lord? As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we belong to him. And our job, our assignment, is to serve him faithfully all the days of our life. We may have to change gears sometimes as life gets past the speed limit. But nevertheless, there's a job to do until the Lord says, "Come up hither." Now would you stand with me for prayer? And as we get ready to close in just a little bit, let's just search your heart about the fact that you do belong to the Lord. And if you don't, right now, tonight, is a good time to say yes to Jesus right where you're standing. You can say, "Lord Jesus, I want to be saved. And the best I know how, I trust you as my Savior." And that starts a new life with Christ. Much more to follow, but you have to start. Father, we thank you for tonight, and we ask you to help us to remember that we are very wealthy people because you have given us a great heritage. And may we use it to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, amen.